trust in his righteousness alone. Faultless stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Wonderful day, my beloved one brings.
loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, oh glorious day. Remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Good morning, congregation. Congregation, as we gather for worship this Easter morning, just one announcement as we start, and that is, or actually two, I guess. The first is that we had a sunrise service this morning at the Nyweenings place, so there is no p.m. service tonight. So if you are planning on coming back for our p.m. service tonight, there probably won't be too many people here. And the second thing, I was told by the Sunday school coordinator that there will be a special Easter activity for grades. For the younger grades, up to grade 5. So if you are grade 5 and under, you are welcome to go after the children's message out for a special Easter activity. Congregation, at this time, I'm going to invite you to rise for our opening response. Our opening response should be on the screen or otherwise in your bulletin. Congregation, the historic Christian greeting, Alleluia, Christ is risen. Indeed, brothers and sisters, what a glorious truth. What we celebrate today is the fact that Christ is risen. I'm going to invite you to remain standing as Brian and Brittany lead us in singing our first song, See What a Morning. again, congregation, as our call to worship, I invite you to look to the screen or to your bulletins for your words. Brothers and sisters, this is the good news. The grave is empty. Christ is risen. This is the good news. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never put it out. This is the good news. Once we were no people, now we are God's people. Christ is our peace, the indestructible peace which we now share with each other. Congregation, and this time I'm going to invite you to take a moment to greet and welcome one another. You may say the historic Christian greeting, Christ is risen, and then you can respond with, He is risen indeed. Take a moment to greet and welcome one another, and then Brian and Brittany will lead us in singing our song, Low in the Grave He Lay. Yeah, you can go ahead. You can go ahead and start. On this Easter morning, as we worship together, these words in greeting, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And all God's people say, Amen. Congregation, let's remain standing if we're able to sing our next song of praise, Because He Lives. They called him Jesus.
to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He
congregation, our call to confession. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Congregation, I invite you to join me in praying the following prayer of confession as we confess our sins to Him. Let's pray together. Lord, bring new life where we are worn and tired. New love where we have turned hard-hearted. Forgiveness where we feel hurt and where we have wounded. And the joy and freedom of Your Holy Spirit where we are prisoners of ourselves. To all and to each, on His community and on His friends, where regret is real, Jesus pronounces His pardon and grants us the right to begin again. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this point, I'm going to invite the children forward for a children's message, and Luke is going to give the children's message this morning. And again, boys and girls, after the children's message, you are dismissed for an Easter activity room from the youngest up to ages, or to grade 5.
All right, good morning. So, today's Easter, right? And one of my favorite characters was part of the Easter story is about Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You know, he was told how Jesus came from the grave, that He's out of the grave, He's not there anymore, and He's alive. But I didn't really realize until this week that he had a whole week of doubting before Jesus revealed Himself to the disciples a second time. Now, over the last couple weeks, I've been pretty distracted. And so some of you guys know that my niece has been in the hospital. Now, when she was in the hospital, the first time I got to see her, it was 2 weeks ago, it was a Sunday night, and she had tubes down her throat, and those tubes were bringing oxygen into her lungs and doing the breathing for her. And she wasn't awake, and they had medication to keep her sleeping. My friend Mateo, he came to the hospital, and he prayed over my niece. And when I left the hospital, I had doubts. I was pretty sure that I was going to be going to a funeral. I didn't quite believe and trust God. But you know what? God didn't care that I didn't trust him or believe him. And even as I was doubting Thomas 2 weeks ago, God was still faithful, and my niece is still here today. And the part that I'm very thankful for is that she's not saved yet. So if we were to go to her funeral, we're not completely convinced of where she would go, which is pretty scary. So I'm very thankful that she's still here and that God is more faithful to me than I am to him. So why don't we pray and then go off to Sunday school. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you that your Son has risen, and thank you for all the things that you do for us, even at times where we are not worthy and we don't fully trust you, Lord. You are so faithful to us during our times of not trusting you. Lord, we pray all these things to you alone. Amen.
I think with some of the older ones going, I think that's half the congregation. Congregation, I have opportunity to lead us in our congregational prayer this morning. Let's go to him. O holy God, great and glorious God, you are so almighty, beyond what we can even think of or imagine, yet as close to us as the skin on our fingers. Lord, we gather before you this morning on Easter Sunday, and we gather, Lord, with gratitude. We confess, O Lord, that we like to think of Easter maybe as a day like it is today, sunny and full of promise and warmth, full of bright light, and maybe as we saw flowers on our way in, buds on trees, Lord, reminding us of all that is fragrant and wonderful in springtime. Yet, Lord, no matter what the weather is outside, the reality is that this world sometimes remains a dark and stormy place. Lord, sunk deep into the cold of winter of sin and of evil. Lord, this morning again, as we've sung already, we're reminded of those people who came that very first Easter, who were the first witnesses to your Son's resurrection and found it, Lord, to be a bewildering and frightening event. For you, Lord, the great God of surprises and the unexpected, Lord, you crashed into our reality with something new, with something never before seen. But Lord, this morning we don't want to skip too quickly past the darkness of this past Friday and the way by which the Easter victory, about which we so happily sing this day, Lord, it came about through death. Lord, we can't forget the sacrifice, the blood, the gore, the forsaking pain of it all. Lord, reality is that the clash between your kingdom and the kingdom of this dark world and of Satan and his forces was fierce. Lord, today we do gather and we praise you for all the mighty power and creativity by which you won the victory, Lord God. We praise you for raising from the dead our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, the great shepherd of the sheep, the shepherd of all the sheep who follow him now. But because we cannot and must not forget also the darkness of sin that even still surrounds us, Lord, we pray this morning for people everywhere who continue to feel the reality of this cruel world pressing in around them, who feel the darkness of Friday but do not have the hope of Easter. Lord, we lift up this morning before you refugees. Lord, we think of those tortured for your name's sake, for victims of war. Lord, for abused children and battered spouses, for stricken families for whom a loved one has disappeared without a trace. We pray for the homeless and the poor. Those victimized or even diminished by racism, discrimination, and oppression of all kinds that abounds in this world. Lord, we pray for those who cannot see the light of Easter because all that is good and lovely has been eclipsed, Lord, maybe by a depression that cannot lift, by a chronic pain that will not abate, Lord, by unableness to find work with no end in sight or even with work that seems to sap our spirit day by day because it seems so meaningless. Lord, the reality is that the things that have led Jesus to the cross have not yet totally disappeared from the face of the earth. The need for resurrection and for new life remains present in the lives of millions and even billions on this globe. Make us, we pray, O Spirit of the living God, Lord, agents of your reconciliating love and good work in this world. May we speak to the world ever and always of the hope we have and the good news of Easter. Lord, we lift up before you also the needs here in our local church. Lord, we pray for those sorrowing among us who gather this Easter with the pain of loss still near and close to their hearts. We ask that you be with those who find the need to believe the resurrection more than more, but find it more and more difficult because of the pain in their lives. We pray for those who are sick, those who have long-term disabilities. Lord, those for whom the ravages of age are taking toll on their bodies. We pray for those for whom a loved one is sick, or for whom a loved one is seeming to slip away day by day, or for those in the hospital, Lord, whose outcomes we yet don't know. Lord, we pray that you be with us as we gather this morning for this service. We thank you for the friends and family that could join us for worship. We pray, Lord, that we are blessed also by your Spirit. We thank you, Father God, for gracing us, Lord, with people who use their talents and abilities through music, through worship, through leading liturgies, through the many ways that gifts are used to further your kingdom. We pray, Lord, that we will be drawn close to you as we continue to worship you. But Lord, above all, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, as we gather here, as we pray, as we read from your word, as we sing your praises, may we encounter nothing short of your very self here this morning. May we know that we have indeed been in your sacred presence. And may this encounter, this gathering for worship, embolden us to go out, to live an Easter life, not only now, but in the days and weeks to come. Help us to take the power of the resurrection, the good news of the gospel, which we hear again today proclaimed and celebrate, that Christ is risen, that he is risen indeed. And allow that to set the tone for us always, everywhere. Lord, we pray this in the name of our resurrected Lord. Amen. At this time, brothers and sisters, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is not quite the end of John's gospel. He goes on a little bit further, talking about the miraculous catch and other things after his resurrection, but we're going to read the first 18 verses, a little bit of a longer chunk there, about the empty tomb and then the Lord's appearance to Mary. Throughout this Lenten season, we've been picturing Jesus through the Gospel of John, seeking to get a better picture of who Jesus is, seeing that he was already in the beginning of his ministry in Cana, a miracle worker, that he was a shepherd guiding and taking care of his sheep, that he was a servant, a foot washer, taking on the lowest form, that he was a king, as we discovered last week, a king who maybe always didn't fulfill people's expectations, but the triumphant Lord. And then on Friday in our Ten Embrace service, we journeyed to darkness and ended with the stone being rolled in front. That's where we left the story, congregation. Now with John chapter 20 open, let's go to God in prayer and then read the rest of the story. Lord God, we thank you for your spirit working in and through the gospel writer John, Lord, to record these words. Lord, as we pictured you throughout his gospel, we learned more of who you are. And Lord, as we ended yesterday in darkness, the candles snuffed on Friday with each successive blow, and then the candle being taken out, the tomb with your body in it and the stone rolled in front. Lord, we ended in darkness. But Lord, we thank you for your word and for what John shares with us now. Lord, that the tomb, the cross, and the grave were not the end. Lord, because the grave was empty. Lord, as we read and hear from your word, Lord, we pray that you bless the preaching of it, that we may be filled with also the joy and wonder of Easter. By your Spirit's power, we pray this. Amen. Congregation, from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. On the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, congregation, as some of you know, I like to read, and one of the books that I enjoyed a while ago now was a book that turned into a bestseller written by the gentleman named Dan Brown. It was a book called The Da Vinci Code, and in this book, Dan Brown focuses a great deal actually on Mary Magdalene, who our story touches on this morning. The major tension there in Dan Brown's book, if you haven't read it, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, is that it focuses on a fierce battle in Dan Brown's mind that's been going on in the church. And what is the battle about? Well, according to Dan Brown, the church has been trying to prevent the world from finding out that Jesus was human. Now, the book does go even further, and it is a work of fiction, and it talks about Jesus even getting married and having children, but the problem is that Jesus could actually be human. Mr. Brown, in his Da Vinci Code, has this puzzling trouble. Jesus might be human, and the church is scared about that. We have these little red Our Faith books in our pews. Let me read to you from page 16 from the Nicene Creed, which the church has testified for thousands of years. Speaking of Jesus, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made human. Crucified for us under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried, and the third day was rose again from the dead. Seems like really as a point of tension that what Mr. Brown is focusing on is not really all that much of a problem. Because if the church, if we have hope as Christians, if this worship service contains any joy at all, it's the fact that Jesus was a human being and he actually literally rose from the dead. He died on Good Friday and was raised back to life. That's the hope of Easter. That's the good news. My congregation, that's really actually getting ahead of our text this morning and the picture we get of Jesus there. Our text actually doesn't start with joy and life. It ultimately does lead us towards light and life and all that gives us joy and hope, but that's not actually where it starts. Verse 1, on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, the murky, blurry undefinedness, while it was still dark. Congregation, and I think that setting helps us to understand a bit more of the truth of what the resurrection means and what it means also for us today. You see, John's gospel doesn't start all off happy, bright, and clapping and cheering, but it really starts pretty low-key, really in a pretty non-dramatic way. You could even say understated. If you watch a good movie, you can kind of often tell what is coming by the music in the background. My family knows that if it starts to get kind of eerie music, doo-doo-doo-doo, everybody in my family moves away from the couch where Dad's sitting because Dad is going to jump, because I always jump in scary parts. But here it's just a background tune. Slow, somewhat confusing. What is going on here? There's no jumping for joy. What's going on here? The music would be gloomy. Now, why did John write the text this way? Doesn't he know the joy of the Easter story? Why does he do it like this? Well, congregation, let's walk through the text again. It's still dark. Mary walks to the tomb. We don't know what she's going to do when she gets there. Other gospels tell us she knew she wasn't strong enough to roll that stone away. There were guards there. Maybe she's just going to be and to weep. Maybe some of us have done that at the grave of a loved one. But now imagine you come to that grave of your loved one and you see just a pile of dirt and a hole there. Wait a second, the burial was just the other day, and now there's just another pile of dirt again. We saw them close it up, there wasn't a hole. It was a tomb. There's a stone, but it's moved. Where does your mind go? Well, probably the exact same place that Mary's would have went that first day. Someone's messed with the tomb. Somebody has done something. She runs off and tells the disciples, and Peter and John come running back. Now those gentlemen, maybe with a little less hesitation, they step in, they duck down, they get into the tomb, they see no body but clothes lying there. There's no body, but there is the clothes. Maybe they would have thought a robbery too. Now, congregation, when I was younger, our home, the home that I grew up in, was broken into. The burglar, I can tell you this now, walked around my dad's shop. My dad was a carpenter, had lots of tools in his shop, but saw the tape from the alarm system on the windows, we likely surmise, decided not to break in. So went into the garage door. The garage door was open, saw the house door, smashed the window, undid the deadbolt, and started to walk through our house. He walked into the rec room. I'm assuming he saw the pool table and thought, well, that's too heavy to take. And then started and turned around and went back up the stairs and got about halfway up the landing on the stairs, turned around, and then left the house. He left the house, we guess, because that's when the timer on the alarm stopped going and the alarm started blaring, and he ran. The reason I can tell you that he did these things is because, well, I said my dad had a shop and we also had goats, and so he had opened the gate and left the gate open and stepped in goats aren't always the cleanest animals, some goat poop. And so when he got to the house, every other step we could see a little mark. And then got to the stairs and we saw a big smear, and at the bottom of the stairs a big smear on his way back out again, and that's how we could tell what the robber did. The robber that day didn't take anything from our house, but that's not normally the case. Most times thieves don't leave empty-handed. We had some broken glass, some smears of goat poop to clean up, and that was it. If you've ever had a break-in or a robbery, you know what thieves do. They typically make a mess of things and make a disaster as they go through the house. Things are turned upside down. If they make it to where the TV is, they go through. They steal the Xbox, the PlayStation, the whatever they can take. They go to the bedroom and they find the jewelry, the little small things that they can carry and make off with quick. But imagine if you got home and the Xbox was gone, but all your DVDs were alphabetized. Or the jewelry was taken out of the bedside stand, but the bed was made and the pillows were fluffed. Who does that? Thieves don't do that. Thieves and in ancient Israel, and stealing cadavers was at times in history sometimes a thing that people did. They would not take the time to unwrap an embalmed corpse. If you have your Bibles open, you can flip back with me there to chapter 19, verse 39. This is talking about the burial of Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. Joseph of Arimathea was accompanied by Nicodemus, who had earlier visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought along a mixture of myrrh and aloes, says the text there, about 75 pounds. So what they would have done at that time is they would have taken this burial cloth and then they would have put this mixture of these herbs and put it in the wrapping and then wrapped it. And what it would have really have done is made it almost like a glue. These things would have been moisturized, crushed, and put together. And in wrapping the body around it, they would have made it almost like a glue around the wrapping. The grave is empty. And the clothes are neat and folded. No thief would have done that. I don't know if it struck you, but in verse 8 there, it actually tells us the other disciple, who we surmise is John, who wrote this gospel, who reached the tomb first, also went inside. And then it tells us this. He said, he saw and believed. What did he believe in that moment? Did he believe in the resurrection, that Jesus was alive? No, verse 9 tells us he didn't understand that yet, much less believe it. But John believed something. The very truth of Mary's report, at the least, that the body was gone. This is no ordinary grave robbery. Something else is going on. There is more to this story. But then verse 10 tells us, then the disciples, they went back home. It's a striking way to tell probably the most important story in the gospel. They just went back home. If we're listening to the music in this story, it's still just background music. Happy, sad, confused, elated, curious, inquisitive, we don't know. They went home. Text doesn't even tell us if they stopped. Mary was still there weeping. They leave this mourning woman there by herself in the garden. You know, congregation, the story begins in darkness, and no matter how much higher over the horizon the sun may have appeared to have risen by this time in the story, there's still a pervasive sense of darkness and gloom. The first emotion we get is sorrow. Mary's really bawling her eyes out. That's where Easter begins, in lament and darkness and confusion and the shadow of death. And that can sometimes be comforting, because sometimes that's where we are too. Sometimes, no matter how brightly arrayed we are in our Easter finery and how nice the dresses, the colored shirts we wear on Easter Sunday, we sometimes come to church, even on Easter morning, with heavy hearts. Trouble, illness, darkness, sorrow are with us. We carry that reality with us as we worship. The reality is that there are probably some here this morning who that's where our hearts are at. Congregation, that's a beautiful thing, because a church is a place to be real, to be open and honest. We shouldn't have to go hide in the bathroom to go cry. We should be able to share what's going on in our hearts and in our lives, when there's pain and sorrow, so we can walk together. That's in this text too. Now Mary, in the midst of her grieving and crying, she too now goes into the tomb, verse 10, and bends and looks in and sees two people there at the head of the foot and where the body was. Amazingly, Mary, maybe in her grief, isn't shocked or surprised at angels, and instead asks them a question. They ask her, why are you here? Well, I want to know where they have taken my Lord. She's greatly troubled. She turns around and there's another person standing there, and she also doesn't know who this person is. Has that ever made you wonder? Jesus, when he first appears in the text, is somewhat hard to figure out who he is. There's something different about Jesus. There was a transformation of his body, not just a mere resuscitation of it. He's translated into something somewhat different. He wasn't quite recognizable. We don't have people going, oh, hey, Jesus, great to have you back. But he keeps having to, look, here, check it out. Look at my side. Look at my feet, to show that it was really him, the one who had been crucified. That was the one who stood there at Easter. There are some, as Luke mentioned in the children's message, who still doubt it after. Maybe it's no wonder then if there's something different about this Jesus that Mary mistakes him for a stranger. Maybe this is the gardener. Maybe he knows what's gone on with this body. The body is gone. The clothes are there. And then Jesus said to her, verse 16, Mary. He asks her questions before. She doesn't know who it is, but he says her name, and she knows him. He says her name, and she figures it out. When she figures it out that it's Jesus, that Jesus is alive, she wants to hug him, maybe to hold his hand, maybe to sit at his feet, as she's done so often before. She doesn't want to lose him again. But Jesus says she has to let him go. The ascension has to happen. Jesus needs to return to his Father. In some ways you wonder if Mary Magdalene that first day stood for all humanity as she was weeping over the sadness of death's presence in our broken world. And maybe she also stands in for us after she learns the truth of Easter. Yet you can't quite grasp hold of all what the resurrection means. And she couldn't just keep him there. Congregation, life goes on after the reality is that death continues to stalk us, even today. Even today we worship with tears in our eyes, but we now worship with hope. A living hope, and that hope, brothers and sisters, is enough. Because after that, Mary is told to go to tell the disciples the good news that Jesus is alive. And Mary, with joy in her heart, I'm sure, tells the disciples, I have seen him. He is risen. Some disciples, maybe like Thomas, didn't take her very seriously. But Mary's sadness is lifted for sure. No one could make her question what she had witnessed in the garden that day. But so far, congregation, it's just Mary. It's still pretty low key. It's not all bright and light and airy and clear. The good news of Easter doesn't really go bang onto the scene like a fireball. It kind of
slowly, slowly, ever so slowly moves in. It creeps in, emerging from the darkness and confusion, from the death and the sadness. And that's, I think, where we can appreciate the good news this morning at all, as well. Because sometimes, congregation, the good news of Easter and the resurrection needs to slowly creep up on us. Maybe there are some of us who, like Mary, that first Easter, find ourselves with tears in our eyes and sorrow in our hearts some days and even many days. The good news of Easter comes to someone here in our text who's lost someone near and dear to her. Someone who's been down difficult roads. And Easter comes in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the darkness, and in the midst of that not understanding. That first Easter showed Mary, and it also shows us that death is not the end. Life and light do have the last, final, and best word. God's triumph over death is true. Jesus is alive. John gives us that glorious Easter message, a message that can go home with each and every one of us, that we have hope because of the resurrection. Hope no matter what is lingering in our lives. John chapter 20 emerges from the shadow of darkness and death, the shadow of confusion, the shadows of sorrow in this broken world. And that, my friends, I argue, is what we need Easter for too. Because John here gives us an Easter and good news that we can live by and live with. Because the reality is that somewhere in the shadows, in the brokenness, in the darkness of your life and mine, a truly risen Savior is there. He is present. If you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior in your life and mine, the good news I share with you this Easter Sunday morning is that the darkness of this world does not have to burst in ways that no one could miss for the reality of Easter to be real in our lives. Even though we walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. In the valleys, in the shadows, today and always, Jesus is here. One of the most striking things in the text is what Jesus says. Jesus says to her, Mary. The resurrected Lord knows her name and your name and mine. No matter how deep the darkness of our lives at times may seem, no matter how much we may not understand, no matter the challenge we face, brothers and sisters, there is hope because the Lord knows our name. Brothers and sisters, listen, because Jesus is calling. Listen for that voice. Listen, and empowered by that Spirit, live resurrected lives for His glory. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for Your word and for the gospel message that shares it with us. Lord, we thank You for the hope of Easter. Lord, today we picture you as resurrected, Lord, full of hope and joy. And Lord, it gives us hope and joy, even in the darkness of our lives, even in the times when we don't understand. Lord, may we cling to that hope, Lord, that you know our names. Lord, the promises that you have given by your resurrection, that we all will someday live with you. Lord, we will rise with you. Lord, that gives us hope that death, as hard as it is here, is not ultimately the end. Lord, that is the hope and the joy of Easter. And Lord, may that fill us, even in the deepest and darkest shadows, in the pits that we find ourselves in. May the resurrected Lord, may the truth of Easter dawn upon us. May that fill our lives, knowing that you know our name and that you are calling us home. Lord, we thank you for that hope and for that joy today and always. Lord, we pray this in our resurrected Lord and Savior's name. Amen. As Brian and Britt make their way forward to accompany us, we're going to sing as a song of response, number 468, I Will Rise. Let's stand as we sing that song, number 468, I Will Rise.
Eagle's wings before my God fall on. This morning's offering is for Resonate. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless this offering for Resonate. Bless all of the different missions Resonate is involved in, such as church planting, campus ministry, and supporting missionaries around the world. May your name be praised and glorified through the work of Resonate. In Jesus' name, amen.
Congregation, as we close out our Easter service this morning, we're going to sing, "There is a Redeemer." Then we'll have a benediction, but the benediction this time is responsive, so the words will be on the screen for the benediction. Then unannounced after the benediction, as a doxology, we'll sing "Rescuer." I invite you, if you're able, to stand with us as we close out our service this morning.
Lamb of God.
these words in closing. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. May Christ's rising lift your spirits and gladden your hearts. All those who believe in Jesus will never perish. May you pass with Christ from life to death. Christ has gone to prepare a place for us. May his resurrection bring you all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope.
Amen.
Almighty God, Father, and Holy Spirit, may he bless you now and forever. Hallelujah. Amen.
Good news for the chains. There is good news for the one who walks away. There is good news for the doubter.
Praise the Lord.